Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Chris Evans here. Thank you for downloading this special edition of our podcast. To hear more guests each week, make sure you listen to The Best of The Breakfast Show every Sunday at 10 on Virgin Radio. But right now, Dapper Dave, it's over to you.
You can forget the man with the golden gun. Our next guest is the girl with the golden touch. Her book, Fleabag, The Scriptures, is out now and already a smash hit Sunday Times bestseller. Please welcome the lady we all have to thank for the hot priest. It's the fantastic Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yes!
How are you?
You look great.
Thanks. You look like you had fun last night.
Yes, well, I did. Thank you very much indeed. Tell me about a vodka gimlet.
Well, it perks you right up.
What is a gimlet? What is the gimlet aspect of the vodka gimlet?
I think it's the, well, I know that it's just a shot of a couple of shots of vodka, fresh lime juice, and a little bit of sugar syrup. I don't know what the gimlety bit is. Maybe the sugar.
Who was the pusher?
The pusher was actually my agent, is that what you meant?
The gimlet pusher.
The gimlet pusher was my agent.
Right.
Yeah.
When was the first gimlet ever?
Well, actually, I just saw her have one, and it just looked so damn chic, and she ordered it with such
elegance.
Panache and elegance and with immediacy, you know, and someone's like, what do you want to drink? She was like, I want a vodka gimlet with sugar syrup and fresh lime. Sometimes you have to specify. And I was so blown away by just the chicness of it all.
Is it your go-to still?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so Fleabag, The Scriptures, okay, the book. This was out last year, but you're around again with it now. How come you're all excited about it again? Why not, of course, but why particularly?
I love the book. I love that people can read.
They're called read-alongs. You know about this. So Marvellous Mira, who's producing the show today, she did a read-along.
Huh.
So you watch Fleabag and you read along.
Oh, my God.
Do you not know this?
No.
That's what people do.
Do they?
It's like the drinking game with Withdale and I.
I got sent a video from a friend of mine, of him, and he came back to his flat, and a lot of people were reading in his flat. They were sat around reading the dinner party scene, and they did the whole first episode over their own dinner party. That was the best feeling in the world. I think there is something really fun. I remember reading scripts of movies that I love for the first time, and it is a completely different experience because you just suddenly, your own imagination kicks into gear. You realise what the actors were doing and what every other aspect of it brings to it. But you can also take your time with the meaning of it.
What's the best script you've ever read or observed on the telly or in the cinema that's not yours? The best thing ever.
The best thing ever.
Ever.
Oh, God, I'm so bad at these on the spot.
Oh, sorry. I know it's rubbish. It's a rubbish question, actually, isn't it? I just thought you might have been asked it before.
I wish I had.
Did you like Withdale and I? You like Withdale?
Oh, my God, that's a really good one. Thank you. I love that one. I've not actually read the screenplay for that. I would love to read the screenplay for that.
Okay, you say when you're writing, you feed off pressure, and pressure is good for you. Tell people listening a little bit of a take home, if you don't mind, how to use pressure as fuel.
Gosh, I burn myself out doing it, so I don't know if this is a tip, but this is just how I get there. I think making sure that you've done the foundation. Like I have a kind of serial killer murderer's wall in my room and at my office of just so many jokes, post-it notes, everything on the wall. So I know that the foundation is in my head and on my wall. And then by the time it gets to the night before, you've just got to forget it all, trust that it's all there, and then just write to surprise yourself and make yourself laugh.
And you say panic, hope.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the process.
But you seem so cool about it. I mean, I watched the Vogue 73 questions, which I loved, by the way.
Thanks.
I loved that. Who's the guy that does that? Joe, is his name Joe?
Joe, yeah.
This is his thing, isn't it?
Yeah, he's so brilliant
at it. He does it a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But you were so... Are you gifted the questions beforehand, or was that straight off the... Oh, right, I see.
Oh, yeah. Was that, and then it's like... God, I don't even know if you're allowed to say that. I've also seen Joe's face. Not many people have seen Joe's delightful face. I'm giving away all the secrets.
It's like, do you remember MTV Cribs? It was the kind of thing.
Yeah, who's behind the camera? Yeah.
This is where the magic happens. Now get away. Come on, I got to get up.
Is Cribs still going?
No, it's a shame.
Miss Cribs.
So do I.
Also, always thought it was completely insane that people let people into their houses.
No, but that's the American way, though, isn't it? I like it. I like the fact that the Americans enjoy things. What's it like to be loved by America? Because they do adore you. Well, quite rightly, by the way. But, you know, for me, North America, you know, it has its faults. But from an entertainment point of view, it is the absolute mecca of everything, I think.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. It's great. It feels really nice.
And when you had, was it 11 Emmy nominations for Fleabag and 9 for Killing Eve? Was that on the same night? At the same Emmys.
Yeah. Was it that many for Killing Eve?
Oh, it was 20 altogether. So it was 11.
Yes,
yes. It was 11 and one of 11, 9 of the other. I can't remember
right,
which
it was
way
nine.
It was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh,
what
my
was
gosh.
That? 20 nominations for you? What is that about?
Well, I can't take the credit for all the, the Killing Eve ones because I didn't write that second series.
But you sort of can because you created it. Nobody minds, by the way. Nobody minds that question or that statement or that observation apart from you, which is fine because you're gorgeous and humble and modest and that's all great. But the question stands.
What was the question?
What is it about? 20 nominations on the same night? You mean, you know, as far as like feeling this Cloud 9, I suspect you visited Cloud 10, 11, 12, and all the way up to 20 nominations. What was that night like for you?
That night was really, really special because it just felt like it's an industry voted awards, that as well. So you really feel that it's your peers that are behind you. And also, it feels, I think because of the way Fleabag started and the way that I work and the team that I work with and everyone, they're just such a bunch of like rascals and ratbags who just work so hard, but they're all so mischievous and lovely. And it just feels every single time like we've climbed in through the bathroom window to all of these events.
That is so cool.
Snuck in and then everyone's sort of like, hey, bye. And so it was a really, really special night. And it's just hard to get your head around that sort of number, like when you say 20 awards. But then you just have a great night.
I was going to say, how does a night like that end? Surely you see the sunrise. Hopefully you would.
Oh, yes.
Come on. And maybe the next day as well.
Yes, you've got to keep going.
Well, tell us how you keep going without giving too much away.
I think the important thing is not to take off, like, if you've had a really, none of us took off our swanky outfits that night, whereas normally you just go home, you just go back and like get into your comfies and go on. But that night we just decided to stay posh, you know, we just stayed all glitzed up and we just went and actually got a room in a hotel. My agents had organized like a room in a hotel and just got all your buddies there and just keep, I think they're just keep, I can't, do you know what,
you just keep the room service
I just
coming.
Can't remember.
Good for you.
I just remember thinking that was fun.
All right. I heard one of your favorite quotes is we write to taste life twice, which is so beautiful, so profound. Who said that?
Anais Nin. Neen. Okay. I never know if it's
a great quote, isn't it?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Okay, and it's and people who don't write are missing out because everybody can write something, can't they?
Yeah.
It's just a diary. But you really sort of get, and you when you write, it's the best of yourself. It's what you would like to say spontaneously but never get the chance to, which is really clever and a bit of a cheat, isn't it?
Oh, it's so cathartic when you can do that. When you just think, oh, imagine, and you live in those moments for a second.
Yeah.
And even when you've thought, especially if there's a line you've come up with that you wish you said in real life that you can actually put in a scene.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so do you look at a genre and apply a twist to it, or do you think twist anyway?
I think twist anyway, but it comes easily when I'm presented with a genre. And my instinct is always to how do you keep the surprise? How do you keep the twist and keep it fresh?
But when you say my instinct is, that suggests a pause. It doesn't suggest a being of twist, if you know what I mean.
A pause.
Yeah, because my instinct is, I'm presented with a genre, my instinct is, okay, let's apply a twist. So there is a little gap there.
Oh no, that's only because retrospectively I've worked out that's what I've done.
Right.
So I think when I'm describing it, I'll say, oh yes, that is what happens. But no, it's very instant.
How much of Eve is in Fleabag? How much of Fleabag is in Eve?
The character?
Yeah.
I don't think they're that similar, actually. I'd say Fleabag's got more of a villainelle in her. Yeah, villainelle and Fleabag, I think, would have a brilliant night out together. Yeah,
yeah, good.
I think Fleabag would be a bit intimidated.
What about the rule of 12? Right, so 12 offices, 12 faulty towers,
12 postman pats.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 12 disciples.
12 disciples.
12 months of the year.
Okay. In America, it's the opposite. It's 23 a year for 7 years, if it's any good, and maybe beyond. Mm. Okay. So was there always going to be the rule of 12?
No, there was strictly the rule of 6. And I mean, I was going to end it after the first series. In fact, it had ended. It was an adaptation of the play that had an ending, and I didn't know how I was going to open it up again. But I did know for sure after this one. When she walks away from the camera, that was the moment I knew that this was going to be the end.
Is hair really everything?
Some days it damn well feels like it.
You've said it in the past. Hair is everything.
Hair is everything. Yeah, it can ruin a day or make a day, I feel. I do think it preoccupies quite a lot of women's minds and lives.
Do you have a close relationship with a particular hairdresser?
Yes.
Who?
Oh my God, Arminio.
Okay, when did you meet Arminio?
I met Arminio when I was... great question. No one's ever asked me this before. I love talking about Arminio. I met Arminio when I was at drama school, and he was a friend of a friend, and he gave me a free haircut, which was massive. Because, you know, when you're a student and you can't feel you're kind of doing it yourself, you're like hacking it to pieces yourself in your bathroom. And I had long, curly hair, and he said, I'll give you a free haircut, but you need to have short hair. It's the hair that you're supposed to have. And he cut it all off. And actually, this was after I left drama school, and he cut it all off. And the moment he cut it off, I started getting work. So he was right.
So when you're at stateside or whatever, does Arminio go with you?
No, I get a little trim before I go.
Okay, from Arminio?
Yes, always.
Has anybody else ever cut your hair since Arminio started cutting it?
Yes, you're going right to the heart of me right now.
Well,
yes, you're
I can
very
sense
good.
It.
I did. I had one, and it was a mistake. It was a terrible, terrible mistake. And I sent him pictures of it afterwards saying, I'm so sorry, I got carried away.
You were unfaithful to your hairdresser.
I was.
It's the worst thing in the world.
I asked his permission, and he was sort of like, okay, we had like a kind of, he gave me a one-off, and I learned my lesson.
Okay, how long did it take you to write your monologue for Saturday Night Live?
Oh, well, about it's sort of that week. It was that
because it was so tight, it was so sharp. How long was it? And you know, percentage wise, what did it come down by?
It was I kind of was aiming for that the whole time. It started off pretty short, actually. It was just trying to build the jokes on a daily basis. So I'd say it took about a week. But I've been thinking about it. But it's the same the way that I always work everything I write. At the beginning, when I'm prepared and actually kind of getting on top of it 2 weeks before, always ends up out the window, and it's the stuff I do at the last minute.
But it was so crisp, and you hit everything perfectly, and you didn't seem at all nervous. And I'm thinking, she must have been a bit nervous, but you didn't seem it, were you? And if you were, how did you cover it up?
I was really nervous. You do a little dress rehearsal first, which helps, sort of moments before. It's so manic and yet so ordered, that whole the way that it's orchestrated, is that everything's happening so fast around you, but everyone on the floor knows exactly what they're doing, so you don't really need to think. They just push you into a wig or take your trousers off, and you just have to kind of submit to it. And so once I was sort of on the roll with them, and you just trust them so much. But the monologue was, yeah, that was a bit I was really, really nervous about. So thanks for saying.
No. And when the band clap your jokes, then you're on. You know you're
did
in,
they
aren't
clap?
You? Yeah, of course they did. Have you not seen it back?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch it back.
I can't watch it now.
Really? Do you watch anything back? Are you in the edit for things you do?
Oh, God, yeah. For like, not so, I mean, for shows that I make, I watch, but not for like interviews and stuff. Oh, no, yeah. Horror.
No, well, it's very good. You shouldn't fear it whatsoever. Okay, so when you couldn't get arrested, right, when you were trying to act and you've been to drama college and all this kind of stuff, what was the tipping point? What was there a eureka moment? Was there a moment when you woke up that morning and you thought, today's the day? Was there something in the air?
What about when things changed?
Yeah.
No, it was meeting Vicky Jones, who's my best friend and who I started... I honestly couldn't get a job until Arminio cut my hair, and then I got a job. but I also just really wanted to just... There was one thing about not getting a job or not getting an acting job, but I just wanted to be in the world. I wanted to be around writers and just be making stuff and flexing the muscles a little bit. And I met Vicky, and she was directing an ex-boyfriend of mine in a pub, like above... like in a theatre above a pub, and I kind of went up to her afterwards and was like, hi, if you ever need anyone to do anything, like pull a curtain or anything, can you call me? And she did, and she then put me in a play which was a disaster, But we both left that play and became great friends. And then we set up our theatre company together. And then just on a monthly basis, we were just producing new writing and working with new writers. She'd been working at the Royal Court, so she knew loads of writers. I knew loads of actors. And everyone's so desperate to make stuff. And the moment we found this pub, the George Tavern in East London, they gave us a room upstairs, which had, you know, like a dead owl in the corner and a hole in the floor. It was a total fire trap. But we went in and they gave us the space and we just kept making stuff. And the excitement around that was when I realised, actually, you can build it.
Oh, so when you find your voice, so when you hit the ground running, so you start to make stuff, and then do you feel something light up inside you that you hadn't felt before, and then you get to a certain sort of a rate and range, and you think, oh, my goodness me, this was always there, and now we're off and we're running?
Well, I felt... So for the first like year or two of doing the monthly like shorts nights, we'd ask like 10 writers to come in. This is relevant. We'd ask like 10 to 15 writers to write a 10-minute play for us, like with a certain brief, like how do you make an audience fall in love with a character under 5 minutes? How do you make an audience forgive a character a heinous crime and all this kind of thing? And there was one night, and all the writers would submit their work anonymously, so no one knew who wrote what, even though they knew which writers were writing on the night. And there was one night when we were down one piece, and the brief was to try and get an audience to heckle without them knowing that's what they're supposed to do there. And so there was lots of really provocative writing, and I had an idea for one, and I remember saying to Vicky, because we were one piece down, and she was like, oh, what are we going to do? We need to get another writer. And I was like, I have an idea. And she was like, do it, write it now. And I wrote it, and I acted in it, and it went down well. And in that moment, when it was going down well, I looked when people were laughing and heckling, and I looked round to Vicky, and she was sat at the back of the audience looking at me with these big eyes going, holy. And I was like, oh, God. And then I really got the bug then, and then I just was writing and writing and writing short plays, and always with Vicky helping me and directing everything that
okay,
I did.
Okay, do you ever fear that leaving you now?
Oh, crikey, I've never thought, not until now.
Sorry.
It can go.
Where did it all go
it
wrong?
It can leave me. Another thing that can leave me.
Okay, don't look down, don't look down. There's no elephant in the room. Oh, my God. Okay, don't think about bananas. Bananas. Right, okay. What could I have asked you that I haven't asked you that would be any good? Ding, 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 ding.
My, please ask me questions about Bond.
Where were you when you
circumnavigate these questions?
Where were you when you got the call?
I was writing, I think. I was in the edit for Fleabag.
A morning? Was it a night time?
It was an afternoon. But I had the call that Barbara wanted to meet me, that Barbara Broccoli wanted to meet me for a coffee. And then and I was like, oh, all right. But the strangest thing is that I had been sort of dreaming about the idea of it. Only a few months beforehand, I was like, well, wouldn't it be cool to be involved in a Bond film? I just put that sort of in the ether. And then it just came around.
And were you parachuted in?
Yeah, physically, yeah. No. I had to smash through a window. I did a forward roll towards
Very
Daniel Craig.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. That's rubbish. But was there a script already? Was it there?
Yeah, yeah.
Or was it finished?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you begin that process with being respectful to everybody involved?
Well,
what was your job? Can you come in and
do dialogue polishes and
right.
And to offer things. Really, it's about just offering different like alternatives, and then eventually, so I'll be writing some, they'll give me some scenes and they'll be like, can you write some alts for this, or have a look at another idea about where it could go in the middle or how it would end. And then I would just give them options and various scenes, and then they would take what they want or write. But there was, you know, a lot of people writing. Carrie, the director, was a writer on it as well, and there'd been a few writers before. And, you know, Daniel is really, really involved from the beginning. We had so many great conversations with him about it, constantly in touch with him about it. So it's a big sort of melting pot of everybody's ideas the whole time.
Right. Have you sorted out your frock for the premiere?
No. I think I want to wear just a tux.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Rock.
I want to go as Bond.
Well, I think we're done. How good is Glenn Close, quickly?
Glenn Close?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she's a dream.
Okay.
She gave me my first movie role.
And what about Rasputin? What's the big deal about Rasputin?
My God, I was just talking about him yesterday. I just got off the phone from it.
Tell me about it.
Love Rasputin. Yeah, love him.
Why have you folded your arms?
Because I freaked out because I was talking about him yesterday. I have obsessions with certain people from history who I think have either been misrepresented
somewhat,
or people who are just deemed sort of evil characters. I instantly want to know what the real story was behind them.
Apparently you've really got to go.
Have I really got to go?
Yeah. Thank you, goodbye.
Thank you, goodbye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you for downloading this special extra edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show with Sky. And if you haven't already, you can subscribe for free to get our best bits every week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.